I've had Joni Pacheco.
Any bond today? Bond to freedom, that's what I'm selling. Any bond?
Pittsburgh. And...
This is basic civil defense information from the department.
And graduate of...
Listen, America, come closer. You in your home, and you speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
I was sitting in the diner late one night when my eyes beheld a horrible sight. The waitress stumbled through the kitchen door. Her guts were spilling all over the floor. She had been slashed. It was a horrible gash. Steve Jobs doesn't like flash. She had been slashed.
Oh, see, that's funny, right? Because it's the end of October, and that's a bad Boris Karloff impersonation, and it's got violence and blood and stuff in it, so it's funny.
But it's scary. But it's spooky. But it's funny, isn't it?
It's all part of the whole festive atmosphere of Halloween, the most important holiday of the year, sort of, kind of, after Christmas. Well, it's all part of one thing, isn't it? It's Hallow Thanks Blurmas Eve. It's all a big, long thing. They used to start with Thanksgiving. Used to have Thanks Blurmas Eve, which would go to the New Year's Day. But now, you know what? Pretty much the end of the year holiday season starts around the end of September when the jack-o'-lanterns go up at Target. And we have to endure 5 or 6 weeks of orange and black and ghoulishness and mayhem until you're just tired of looking at skulls, okay? You're tired of walking through the seasonal aisle at the drugstore and seeing a pile of skulls. This would be great if Conan ran the place, but he doesn't. They're just plastic skulls to put everybody in the mood. Yeah, get everybody in the mood for candy and dressing up and pretending to be a vampire and all the rest of that stuff. I say to hell with it. Oh, I'm sorry. Hell. Ooh, hell. Spooky. Scary. Where the demons live. It's like Christmas for them, isn't it? That's right. So everybody can just get together and have a great, heck, wonderful holiday. I'm going to have some blood right now. Oh, that's good blood. Normally it'd be called Jubal, of course, the diner's famous soft drink, but since it's reddish, it's been renamed Blood to get everybody in the festive mood. And I should stop carping and just sit back and enjoy myself, shouldn't I? Why am I being such a killjoy? Ooh, kill the joy! It's Halloween! Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilac, sitting at my accustomed place with the long boomerang pattern for my counter here at the old diner out on old Highway 23. It happens to be about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now, although it may take a little longer. You may have to drive around the crowds of ghouls, which are no doubt going through the countryside right now looking for brains and or blood. Yes, the ghouls. Ghouls or zombies? Is there a difference, actually? There used to be. A ghoul used to be a name for a certain kind of person. Oh, what a ghoul. But a ghoul has now sort of kind of been turned into like a zombie type thing. Ghouls, come to think of it, have fallen out of favor somewhat. Mostly your zombies. Well, the diner certainly looks festive enough, I'll grant it that. Lots of pumpkins. although somebody appeared to have gotten bored with the whole pumpkin carving process. Three of them are carved, and the rest all have their features drawn on with Sharpies. One of them, he must have got bored in the middle of the process, because one eye is carved and the other has an eye patch drawn over it with a Sharpie. Why would a pumpkin need an eye patch? Is it a piratical pumpkin? Is that it? I don't know if there's a lot of historical evidence for the role of gourds in high seas piracy. And in the window, of course, there's the usual iconography. There is a black cat, a cardboard picture of, with its back arched and its fur up. Oh, scary. There's also a witch, and it's your classic witch, by which, of course, I mean green skin, long, pointy chin, which is anatomically impossible, long nose, wart on nose, and wart on chin, I can see, bloodshot eyes, and pretty bad teeth. Yeah. What is the start of the whole, that witch? I mean, that look, where did it come from? Couldn't have come from the Wizard of Oz. I think the Wizard of Oz may have built on a pre-existing conception of witches in order to identify Margaret Hamilton so clearly and immediately as a witch. And she had a pretty good set of choppers, too, if I remember right. You got a good dental plan in Oz, I guess. So it had to be something else. It had to go way back to some conception of witchiness that includes all of the facial growths and deformities and the hairy moles and the rest of it. And the bony physique. And the hat, of course. Yes, the hat with the buckle. The buckled hat. Why would your hat have a buckle on it? Never understood that. We're going to get more buckled hats come Halloween, or come Thanksgiving, when the pilgrims come out, right? Then the pilgrim pictures will be out, and we'll see them standing around looking ruddy, holding maize in one hand and shaking hands with Squanto with the other, and they'll have a buckle on their head for some reason. Why? Like a seatbelt of sort for bad thoughts to keep them from going out? If you're going to be on a broom, you know, a big-brimmed, floppy, large hat is probably not aerodynamically wise. You're going to lose it as soon as you gain up some speed. Maybe that's what the buckle's for, to keep it on her head, but I still think something like a beret would be better. I mean, something that goes over the ears, because you can't... that hat can't keep you warm, that's all I'm saying. And what else do we got? We got a skeleton reminding people that they have some sort of calcium-based infrastructure, and that's about it. Yeah... that's about it. Well, what more would you really need? Your classic monsters, of course, wouldn't you? Well, we have those. Yes, we do. Oh, yeah. The waitress has... she's a sexy mummy. Because you got to be a sexy something if you're a female-type person on Halloween. She's... she just took off all of her clothes and went in the bathroom and had somebody wrap her in Charmin. So that's her costume. The cook. Man, you want to talk all out? Keep in mind, we've never really seen what he looks like. He's got all the lights turned off back there. Nobody's ever got a good look at him. Nobody ever sees him come, and nobody ever sees him go. As far as we know, he sleeps in a closet back there. He's a very mysterious character. Very mysterious, but he brought the place back to fiscal health. The diner's doing great. They're packing him in tonight. And his ever-changing menu is, one of those things that people have come to expect. And in this ever-changing menu in which we live in, he's come up with, let me check today what we have. Besides, of course, the Jubal as blood, we have, stink of an open grave burger. Yeah. And, plague of my homeland soup. I'm not really certain exactly what plague and soup do together, unless there's, big kidney beans in there that are supposed to be inflamed lymph nodes, buboes and the like. Anyway, he's got a pretty good costume on this year. As I've said, nobody's ever seen his face. As far as we know, he's horribly scarred. As far as we know, he had acid thrown in his face as a young man in his 20s in Paris and ran away screaming to go to the bowels of the Paris Opera, where he discovered that there was already a phantom guy living down there. And, so he had to come here and work as a short order cook. But he's good. He's very good. And his costume today is extraordinary. His head is on fire. His entire head is engulfed in flames. I don't know how he did it. It's a wonderful effect. And, of course, he's got all the lights turned off back there. So customers, when they look back to the kitchen, only see a flaming head with its features contorted in agony, bending over the grill, making the omelets and the burgers. Everything's got deviled ham in it today, incidentally. So there's that. It's also something else we're going to be doing a little later on, because the owners have... decided wisely to capitalize on the fact that a haunted diner manifests itself in the woods across the road. That's right. If you remember, we've been there before. It appears every year around this time. A diner made of some strange ectoplasmic architectural form just appears in the wood and glows darkly as though it absorbs light by yet reflecting it still. And as you approach it, you feel the hair stand on the back of your neck and the hair stand on your head. Unless you're mean, you don't have a lot of it. And the hair stand on your arms and you hear the shrieks and the howls of the wraiths of the damned. And you wonder, should I go on? And of course you do, oddly compelled to walk forward because you're like everybody else in the movies. You want to see what's there. And not a lot. It smells, it's dusty, but it's haunted, I guess, and it shows up every year. So the owners have built a funicular rail car system that will take you over there. It's quite unusual. It goes up, and then it comes down, and it loops around, and you can get off and lose your mortal soul if you want, or you can just look down on it and say you were there. Balloons for the kiddies. So we'll be giving that a try. But right now, let's take a look at the wonderful world of Halloween music, shall we? Because there's nothing better in the annals of pop music than Halloween songs, be it big band, be it jive, doo-wop, rock, surf. Everybody who's tried their hand at Halloween music has come up with the ne plus ultra of the pop art form because it's just so good. It's just so raw and rockin', man. It's funny, it's terrifying, it's all this stuff, and I'm lying because it sucks. All of it sucks. I hate Halloween music. But let's see what there is here. I'm sure it'll be quite wonderful. You know, actually, I would wager there's more Halloween music than there is Christmas music. Not recorded, of course. The amount of Christmas music recorded is extraordinary, but there's 18 Christmas songs, basically. And there's hundreds of awful Halloween songs. Ever since Bobby Pickett brought the genre back. Everybody's got to do one. Now, everybody does a Christmas album, of course. And, you know, they get their way through the 6 or 7 songs and they figure, oh, man, we got to pad this thing out. What are we going to do? Oh, I know. 10 days, 12 days of Christmas. How many days? Let's make it the Baker's Dozen of Christmas this time. On the 13th day of it's the 99 bottles of beer of Christmas songs. At some point, though, somebody's going to come up with a 12 Days of Halloween version, if they haven't already, and that's going to be obligatory. It's going to be something 7 minutes that they got to play at a party. And in the background, you know what the saxophone's going to do. Dun, 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 which is scary somehow, for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway, no danger of premature Christmas music now, so let's go to our first treat on this Halloween season. Kill me now. H1.
Time has come today.
It's a James Bond Christmas with Clint Eastwood.
It was the night before Halloween, and all through my house, not a monster was stirring, not even a mouse. Igor was snuggled, all safe in his bed. He lay there so still, you'd think he was dead. The bats were all hung around the chimney with care, hanging there planning which people to scare. And wrapped in his coffin, and I, my lab, creating a monster still warm on his slab. When all of a sudden I heard such a clatter, I ran from my lab to see what was the matter. I ran to the chamber, quick as a flash. There were my monsters doing the mash.
It was a copyright infringement. Their lawyers claimed an impingement. We said it was a new arrangement, but it was a copyright infringement.
Sweet mother. I broke up the party and put them away and told them to rest, for tomorrow's their day. When all of a sudden the clock struck 13 and Frankenstein yelled, it's Halloween. Up, Igor, Dracula, out of your bed. Let's go downtown and wake up the dead. And as the whole gang started off in the night, I heard them all singing,
Happy Halloween to all, and to all a good
Friday. Yeah. You're very, very insane, and that's also funny. So what do we learn here? We learned that downtown is where the dead are. I guess that's your central location for the dead. And also that Frank and Dracula, of course, are living together. It's always the same way in these songs. The mad scientist with his laboratory and the castle. It's got Frank living there and Drac, too. It's, probably the Wolfman. It's like college. They're all rooming together. You know, Mummy's crashing on the sofa. Frankenstein's bitching because nobody does the dishes. I blame Universal squarely for this because towards the end of their classic monster movie sequences, they were just throwing every single possible monster in all the movies as if it wasn't enough to have one or two. They had to have all of them. I mean, I just saw one where Dracula shows up at this doctor's house to be cured. And then who pops up in the office a little bit later? Wolfman. He wants to be cured, too. And then they're downstairs in a grotto somewhere, and who do they dig up? Frankenstein! All in the same day. Wow! What are the odds? So, yeah, and all these songs, they're all living together. You'll also notice that Frankenstein was referred to as Frankenstein and not the monster. Oh, how this makes the purists shriek.
It's not his name, Frankenstein. He's the monster. Frankenstein was the scientist.
Yeah, I know. I think at some point Frankenstein's got a legal claim to the name. You know? He just does. And I don't want to get any pedantic arguments about this. Can I just say that? Can I shake off the desire to be nerd cool and refer to him as the monster, like we all know what I'm talking about? Hey, I'm going to call him Frankenstein. He's Frankenstein, for frick's sake. I mean, when Frankenstein died, left the castle, okay, passes to the son. Son dies, goes to the other son. And instantly the son of Frankenstein, the son of the son of Frankenstein, was the guy who later voiced Bambi, which I find just hilarious, and then became a Marine and served in Vietnam. True story. But then his son, you know, eventually you run out of Frankensteins, you're done with the daughter of Frankenstein and the aunt of Frankenstein and the second cousin of the niece of Frankenstein. The line dies out, and what do? You still got the monster staggering around because that SOB is absolutely unkillable. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you stitch together a body from old decaying parts that are previously dead and animate them with a little electricity and sew them together with catgut, oh, nothing's going to destroy that. Oh, no, not fire, not flood, not crushing rocks, not ice, no. Absolutely unkillable, that thing. So he's going to survive no matter what. I mean, I saw one where he burned to death. That was, he burned to death. Now, him being made of flesh, I just can't see how he gets out of that, but he does. Anyway, so he survives unto eternity, and eventually the tax man is going to come looking around and saying, we got a bill here. We got an estate settlement. You guys owe Mondo taxes. I'm sorry. That's a really 80s flashback there. There was a while there in the 80s when Mondo became a term for lots of, which is so wrong. Whoa, Mondo bummer, man. Whoa. Mondo blow at that party. I don't know where that came from. The term Mondo entered the popular culture in the 60s with a movie called Mondo Cane. Mondo Cane. It's a dog's world. And Mondo became something to mean strange. And then somehow strange metamorphosized into lots of. Anyway, the IRS comes along, and in the technical terms of the IRS, the estate, what with the castles and the holdings and the patents and the like, Mondo taxes are due. And so who are they going to look at? Well, you know, they're going to look at the big, totally animate, immortal lump of flesh that this guy made and said, you know, legally, sort of, kind of, this guy's going to be on the hook for the whole thing. Which explains Frankenstein's monster's anger in subsequent episodes. I mean, it's a hell of a large tax bill they have to work off, and he wasn't exactly endowed with a lot of marketable skills. So, anyway, point is, I think that the monster would have been, at some point, legally entitled to call himself Frankenstein. So anyway, that's one song. Let's see what else we got here. Let's take a look and go to, well, let's see what the flip side of that one is.
Oh, the vampire has sharp teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white. Oh, he sleeps all day long, dear. But he comes out.
When?
Every night.
Ah.
Shoot. When that bat bites with his teeth, dear.
Yes.
Scarlet billows, they never spread. 'Cause old Count Dracula is so thirsty that there's never a trace of red in a coffin every morning. Lies a body cold and still, but tonight, dear, he'll awaken, shoo, and go out to drink his fill in a castle in Transylvania, shoo, lies our hero
and Miss Lottie Lenya.
But don't go near there after nightfall, 'cause old Drag is back in town.
Blow.
For the Wolfman.
Ah, see?
He also lives there.
Ah, what am I telling you?
He comes out every time he sees that moon. There's Frankenstein's monster.
What am I? See?
And faithful Igor. And the creature from the Black Lagoon. Every beast there, sure, they have a feast there. Ghosts and phantoms all
hang
out.
And Miss Lottie Lenya.
That line, it forms on the right, dear. Now that Dracky is back in town. Stand back, old Drac is back. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I just found it amazing that Bobby Darin shouted out Lottie Lenya. I mean, you got people to this day in karaoke who will shout that out without knowing who she was, and the fact that I believe she was the wife of the man who wrote the song back in old Weimar days, which were a lot scarier than Halloween, let me tell you. I was at the state fair a while ago, and they were playing Mac the Knife, and all the little kids were dancing. They're dancing around a Mac the Knife. It's a really funny song. Because they know it, because it's been around for forever and whatever. And it's a song about a guy who kills people for money. And the women love him because he's got that whole death killer thing going on. Dance, kiddies, dance. That's more frightening than Halloween. Gosh, look at the time. I do believe it's time for a word from one of our sponsors. And when we get back, perhaps we'll get ourselves into the funicular cars and go visit the Honda Diner. Oh. After this.
Say, here's how to make breakfast as exciting as a circus and a three-day rodeo rolled into one.
Shredded Ralston for your breakfast. Starts the day all shining bright. Gives you lots of cowboy energy with a flavor that's just right. It's delicious and nutritious, bite-sized and ready to eat. Take a tip from Tom, go and tell your mom, Shredded Ralston can't be beat.
For better breakfasts, it's Ralston. One, two, three. Shredded Ralston, the ready-to-eat bite-sized cereal. Regular Ralston and Instant Ralston, the delicious hot cereals. Look for these whole grain cereals in the red and white checkerboard packages. For better breakfasts, it's Ralston. One, two, three.
Men, Frank Crummett is here with me to say a word about Roy Tan cigars. Frank Crummett.
I'm really a fan for Roy Tan, and the reason is Roy Tan has more long filler Havana tobacco, and yet it's a 5-cent cigar. Man to man, smoke Roy Tan.
Oh yeah, I tell you something you may not understand, but I'm a thirsty vampire. I want to bite your hand, shoo! I want to bite your hand. I want to bite your
Well, hand. Time to gird my loins. The only time anybody ever mentions any loins, if they're not pork, is in the context of girding, isn't it? And head on outside to the funicular railway that will take us to the haunted mansion. It just still seems like a lot of stuff to build for something that appears once a week, but, well, so my money. All right, let us head outside then.
Haunted house update!
Yes. Thank you, Bertha White people. That's exactly what I'm doing. Man, it's your dark and stormy night out of here. You know, I don't know why that line gets so much trouble, really. I mean, yeah, most nights are dark, but, you know, if there's a moon out, it's a bright night. Of course, if it's stormy, there's going to be the clouds obscuring the moon, so you wouldn't have that option. I suppose. Yeah, it's a stupid line. You'd think they'd have some sort of transportation from the diner to the funicular railway, don't you? Not even any signs. I don't even see any lights up ahead there. Okay, well, somebody's been feeding the dog chili again. Ah, there, I think I see it up ahead. Yes, glinting darkly, in as much as things that are dark can glint. In the moonlight, which there would be, but there isn't because there's clouds. Oh, no, there's a little moonlight. Let's just head up the stairs here. All the way to the top. And there's no conductor. I guess I just go right in. And, I'll get in the car. How do they know I'm here? What? Hold on. Whoa. Yeah. I guess it's automatic. Well, it's a smooth enough ride, I'll give it that. Kind of nice up here. Over the highway. You know, they could do something for Christmas with this, too, you know? Just have all the trees all decked out in their holiday finery and take a little tour through them. It'd be lovely. You could have Easter egg hunts at Easter time. The kids could rappel down from the side of the cable cars. They'd have to sign waivers, of course, but... I think I see something up ahead. I think I see it. There. I can dimly make out a diner. That's got to be it. I was only here before in the underground tunnel, so... And... My God. We're slowing. It looks like there's some sort of unholy satanic ritual going on. Well, of course, all satanic rituals would be unholy, but going, I mean, I see candles. There's candles, and I see the place full of creatures. They're all just milling around. Zombies. The place is full of zombies. If they get out of there, there's only one place they're gonna go, and that's for the diner. Why did they have to put brains on the menu tonight? Of all nights, my God. I've gotta save the place. There's a pile of guns on the floor. Just for a situation like this. Hit the emergency stop. Break the glass. Lock and load. Hey, zombies! Come get some!
Hey,
trick. The sign is lighting up. Oh, that was a Denny's. They must have had a power outage. That's why they had all the candles. So I just shot up a Denny's. And now I'm en route to the haunted diner there. I can see it glowing darkly in the woods. And after I loop around that, it'll be back to the real diner for some splaining. Some questions. How long has there been a Denny's there? That's what I want to know. Oh, well. Can you blame me? Can you blame me? The candles, the people, the guns right here? I'm a bad shot, okay? I could just feel the thing jerk in my hands. I just, there's no way I hit anything at all. But we'll see. We'll see. Well, thanks for joining me here, folks. I'm going to leave you here twixt the haunted diner and the retribution that inevitably awaits at the real one. And thank you for coming by. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for Friday, October 29th, 2010. I am so dead. We'll see you down the road. Halloween!